Welcome guys to another session. Today is gonna be a Q&A about creating your peaceful and clutter-free home. This is a very demanded topic. Everybody talks about decluttering and organizing their homes. It's one of my bestseller courses. And I have a course here on Inside Timer on this topic. So the idea behind today is to give you space for you to ask questions, to have a conversation, and then I will guide you through different resources that you may find here from me, free tracks, maybe inside the course, because my goal is to try and help you declutter and organize your home. Hi Shelley, hi Becca, thank you for being here for us. I joined your course. Thank you so much for joining the course, Becca. Good morning, my first live with you. Your course was helped me so much. Yeah, Sevika, I remember your name. Thank you so much for taking my course and for engaging in the course classroom. I remember you shared quite a bit there. So I'm really happy that you are here. So yeah, for those of you who maybe are students from the course, or for those of you who are just joining because you are curious and you are trying to create your peaceful and clutter-free home, today's session is all about trying to be of service to you. Try to answer any questions you may have. Remember to try and share specific questions. The more specific, the better. Because if you just ask, how can I declutter my home? That is a big question. And I invite you to become more specific if you can. Good morning, Kathleen. Hi, Lydia. She says, hi from Munich to all of you. Nice to do a nice home in winter time. Thanks. Yeah, Lydia, this is so true for many of us, myself included. We are entering the winter time, and the winter time is a time of the year where it's colder, at least in Canada, winter. We have more time inside, so it becomes more important to take care of our environment, because we are going to hibernate a little bit more. Summertime is more spending time outside, but winter is more time inside, so it's really important. Hi Elena, hi Amy, good morning, amazing. So guys, do you have any specific questions about creating your peaceful and clutter-free home? Really opening the floor for questions. And for those of you who may don't know, my wife Samantha and myself, we have been doing decluttering sessions since 2012. So this is a topic that we love, a topic that we have done a lot of work with hundreds and hundreds of different families and individuals in their homes. So very intimate sessions, and we got to learn a lot from all those experiences. And I always try to share all of those experiences with you in the form of audios, in the form of courses, in the form of sessions like this one with a Q&A, because I know that it can be a very challenging time for some, very emotional, very mental, and also very physical. Good afternoon, C. Nice to see you. Will you talk about the emotional relationship to clutter? Becca, I can, absolutely. And I had an idea the other day about talking about the different ways, the different kinds of help that you can receive when you are trying to declutter and organize your home. And one of them is to understand the different kinds of help. And this ties really well with Becca's question, because for some, this is a physical work. It's a physical task. And maybe they are not aware. You may not be aware of the emotional and the mental connection that the physical clutter may have to that physical work. So many times I have noticed that many people cannot do the physical work if they haven't done the invisible work first. And the invisible work is understanding the emotional and the mental aspect of that clutter, of that physical space that you are trying to create, okay? So many times you may have emotional attachment to things. Many times when you are doing the decluttering, you may encounter things and you have to make decisions about, and you are going to be facing yourself. You're going to be facing the decisions that you made. You're going to be facing past experiences that you, that item is evoking in you, is making you remember. And sometimes that can be very, very intense. Sometimes you may be going through belongings from a loved one that is no longer here. So you may grieve, you may be sad, you may be encountering a lot of emotions. So it's very important to be aware of that. And it's very, very important to create space for that emotional work that needs to happen. Okay? Hi, Kenya. Good morning, Emilian community. Karen says, I am very messy, and when I get tired, I am really bad. Well, Karen, you say that you are very messy. Just try to be gentle with yourself, and maybe right now you are prioritizing other things in your life, and maybe decluttering hasn't been a priority for you, but maybe now you want to change. And this has to be something that you really want to do, okay? Decluttering and organizing is not something that everybody wants and needs. And this is something very hard to understand for some. But some people don't want to do this, and they don't need it. They don't care about how messy things are. They can function in that mess, and they are living, and they don't care. They don't make the decision of making a change. Some other people, on the other hand, they really want to change. It is really bothering them, that physical clutter. It's bothering them the lack of efficiency. It's bothering them the amount of visual stimulation that is in front of them, in the sense of unfinished tasks, things I have to get to, things I didn't complete. So this has to be a choice. That's the first thing that I really want to make it clear. And then once you make that choice, then you start taking responsibility, but always with compassion, always accepting that things are bad. Maybe you let things go for a little bit because you didn't feel well. Maybe it wasn't a priority. Maybe you didn't know how to do it and you were embarrassed to ask for help. Maybe a life situation happened, a life event, and things got out of control for a while, and now you want to get back in control, whatever control means to you. And that's why it's so important to first define what do you really want. What kind of activities you want to do in that space? How do you want to feel? What are the frustrations that you are experiencing? And then start from there. How can I start removing, eliminating, reducing those frustrations? What does that look like? And then following a structure that what I share in my course, for example, there is a very specific structure, step by step, that I invite you to follow. Because I have done this for like 10 years now, more than that. And I can tell you that, for example, organizing before decluttering does not work. You need to declutter first, and then you organize what you are keeping. Okay, so that's really important. Don't get to the organizing if you haven't decluttered yet. Decluttering cannot be done if you haven't set specific goals, if you haven't done the emotional work of making that decision that you want to change, getting clear on the outcome, getting clear on the activities that you are seeking to do, getting clear on the communication that you need to have with the people who live with you. All that needs to happen before you can declutter. So there is a specific order that you need to follow to make this a successful journey, okay? I'm sorry about my cough. I have a really bad cough these last few days, and I apologize if I cough during the session, okay? So let me go through. Paperwork is my nemesis. See, paperwork, okay? I would like to have, for things in my home, to have a special and good place where they can stay. So Lydia, very important, create permanent homes for everything that you are choosing to keep. That is a part of the organizing piece, okay? First you declutter. You make decisions about everything that you own. You decide what stays and what goes. And then with the things that stay in that space, that's when you get to the organizing, creating systems, finding a permanent home for everything that you are keeping. Because if you don't have a permanent home, your things are gonna start being homeless again. And when things are homeless, meaning you don't know where to place them, mountains of things are going to start appearing, piles of things are going to start appearing, and piles normally call out for more piles, and they become bigger over time, and that's when clutter starts appearing again. So very important to create a permanent home for everything that you are keeping, to create systems. How do we assign a home for the different items we may have by category? So Kenya, a beautiful question, and sorry, the chat is moving really fast and I'm losing track here. So if you wanna pause for a second using the chat so that I can catch up, and then I will, guys, let you know when you can use the chat again, that would be very helpful. Because if you keep sharing, I won't be able to get to everything. So how do you assign homes for the different things? And you said one keyword, categories, right? It's very important when I do the decluttering process with a client, we try to put everything together alike. For example, I will look at the room that we are trying to declutter and I will see what's in that room. And in my mind, I will see categories. I will not see specific objects. I will look around and I will see, okay, I see clothes, I see tools, I see books, I see papers, I see office supplies, I see crafts. And inside crafts, I may try to create categories. If I see a lot of different crafts or craft supplies or art supplies, I will try to categorize them. And I will ask the person a question like, what do you normally do here? And maybe they will say, I paint, I do scrapbooking, and I do whatever. So I will try to put those things together so that we can see the volume. We can see how much we have of each. So once you have everything together, it's easier to make decisions, okay? So for example, if you have 10 pair of scissors, but they are scattered all over the place, and I ask you how many scissors do you need, and you say 3, you won't be able to choose the best 3 that you have because they are not there together. But if you group them together and you can see the 10 pair of scissors at the same time, you're gonna have an easier time to make a decision. And then when you decide which ones you are keeping, that's when you are going to decide, okay, one belongs in the kitchen, one belongs in my office, and the other one belongs in the garage, because those are the places where I use them. And maybe the other ones, you can have them on a shelf and then you can shop from home. If one pair of scissors get lost, you know where to shop from home. You know where you have the extras. So that will be a logical way of setting homes. You try to set homes by thinking, where are you going to do that activity? That can be by location, that can be, every situation is different, but that's why it's important to categorize first, see the volume that that category takes, and then you will find a home for that. Sometimes you can containerize things, you can get a Tupperware, you can get a cardboard box, you can get something to put everything together there, and then you know where the markers are, you know where all the books are, you know where all the electronic cables are, for example. So that's how we will do it if we were doing a session with you. So let me see if I can catch up with the... Okay, any suggestions for explaining this emotional effort of decluttering to loved ones who share the space, who don't have this emotional experience when they declutter? So that's a really good question. And every case, every family, every household is different. But when this appears, it's very important to have clear communication, in the sense of, it's really important that everybody in that household is aware of how each person feels. It's important to recognize that maybe for some people, physical clutter is not a big deal. For some other people, they may be very affected by it. So when everybody understands what's happening, it's easier to find a happy balance. It's easier to find a common ground, okay? And then when you wanna move forward in how to organize things, then you can do that together and you can set healthy boundaries, in the sense of sometimes physical boundaries are helpful. It depends on the size of your home. Like if you are 3 or 4 people in your home, and you have a 4-bedroom home, it will be as easy as saying 1 bedroom for each, and that's it. And then for the shared spaces, you will get together and decide how they should look like. But everybody will have their own space to be themselves, to express themselves, to organize things however they want, or to have that space as messy as they want to, okay? Sometimes when you don't have the luxury of space, then you have to compromise more because there is not enough space. So that sometimes I have seen people saying this half of the room is mine, this half of the room is yours, or maybe agreeing on something together. And sometimes there is a lot of conflict in here. And that's when a mediator can be very helpful. Someone to help you guys achieve that compromise can be very helpful. But healthy communication is really, really important. And you can do this doing an intentional dialogue. You can use the non-violent communication strategy. There are different settings, different structures of finding communication and making that communication safe, respectful, and hopefully positive, not toxic. Okay? So everything you are saying is very relatable. I have the need to be clutter-free. However, I allow other priorities to come first, and procrastination is also a factor. So Kenya, you are touching a really important piece here. And before I was talking about the physical aspect of decluttering, the mental and the emotional. This is more of a mental, okay? And this relates really well with executive functioning skills. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, but I have a full course on executive functioning skills that you can also take. I also have free tracks that you can listen to, but there are several executive functioning skills that you can leverage to make this problem, to solve this problem. Okay, one of them is called prioritization, and that's helping you prioritize, gaining clarity about what's on your plate right now and what are you choosing to do consciously. And then you can be intentional here. You can decide. So Kenya, you can be really specific about what are the competing priorities that are now in my life and which ones am I choosing to nurture and when. And then by doing this, you are going to be able to see them. You're going to be able to feel its priority, see the urgency of it and the importance, and really put things in perspective. And then realizing, when am I going to tackle this one? When am I going to tackle this one? And sometimes you may have a priority that is more important than decluttering. So if that's the truth for the next month, you have to honor that. You have to honor that you are choosing to do X instead of decluttering for this month because it's more important. So now you can just let it go and then do whatever you're doing for the month, but be okay with it. Be in alignment with it. And then when the month ends and you finish that priority, then maybe the number one priority will be decluttering. And then you will make it your 100% priority at that time. But it's really important that you use that prioritization executive functioning skill to decide. Another one is metacognition. This one is the one that allows you to reflect, allows you to be in the present moment and to notice how you behave, how you feel, how you act. And then when you are using this metacognition executive functioning skill, you are like watching yourself live and do. It's like you're sitting on a couch and you're watching a movie of your life where you are the main character, but you are seeing yourself from the distance. When you do that, you can detach yourself from your specific situation and you can see it from an observer's point of view. And then from that point of view, you can then decide, do I like it? Is there anything I can change? Is there anything I can stop doing? Is there anything I want to integrate? Anything I want to start doing? And then that is your opportunity to start making change from the present moment. And that is the metacognition. Another one is emotional self-regulation and impulse control. They are very related. But basically, when you are feeling overwhelmed, when you are feeling that something is too much for you, you are going to have the tendency to procrastinate because it is uncomfortable. It is something that you don't want to do because it's difficult work. Maybe you don't have the support. Maybe you need more time. Maybe you don't know how to do it. and then you are noticing emotions coming up, and then that is the skill that allows you to be with those emotions, create space, and don't act impulsively on them. So create a pause and say, wow, I am overwhelmed right now. Whoa, I don't really want to do this right now. Wow, I am procrastinating this because I have fear of making a mistake. I have fear of having that conversation. I'm grieving the loss of this person, and I don't want to do this task because it's evoking in me all that grief, and I need time to grieve. So you will start becoming aware of what's happening and what you need to do next. That's a combination of emotional self-regulation, impulse control, metacognition, being able to be present with those things. And then you're going to use organization, prioritization, task initiation, task completion, transitioning. So there are a lot of executive functioning skills that are happening that you are using in the background. And procrastination is normally the result of something that is, you are self-sabotaging yourself for a reason. Normally, it's a combination of mental and emotional reasons, and you need to discover what that is. And that is an opportunity for you to learn from it so that you can stop doing that. So I hope that that makes sense. Okay, I hope that this is not too much. But again, there is a full course on executive functioning skills that you can take. There is a full course on creating your peaceful and clutter-free home. I have a full course on time management. So if you want to dive deeper into some of these aspects, you do have the resources and you have support. Okay? And I hope that these sessions and these questions are helpful to help you get started, overcome, and keep moving forward. Yes, it is about loss for me. Loss and ending. Yeah, loss and ending. Roxanne, for example, right now, I am in this apartment in Barcelona, and December 15th, we are flying back to Canada. So right now, we are dealing with selling things. Everything is a little bit messy now because we are transitioning out of this life into our life in Canada. And I get you. I'm also experiencing that grief, that loss. I'm losing the life that we have here, family time. And it makes me sad. But I'm also excited to go back to the life in Canada. There are things that excite me. But we can't negate feelings. We can't negate emotions. And I got emotional there. And I almost started crying. Because there is sadness. There is grief. And maybe I'm doing something physical. And all of a sudden I start crying. It's like, what's going on? Well, I'm grieving. I'm sad. I'm saying goodbye to something. And it's not bad, it's not good, it's just what it is. It's just an emotion. And you have to be able to be with it. Give it space, do what you need to do to process it, and then you keep working, you keep doing the physical. But you have to be aware of it. If you shove it down and you don't deal with it, it's always going to be there. And that's what happens to a lot of people that call us. They try 100 times to declutter and they couldn't. They always found the same obstacle. And many times, especially lately, before coming to Spain, the last 3 or 4 sessions that we did, they were very, very healing. They were more healing than decluttering, to be honest. And we were going through all these emotions. We were discovering all the roots of why physical clutter was there. And we were uncovering layers, processing them. Sometimes we did tapping. Sometimes we did role modeling. Sometimes we did a lot of different strategies that we have learned over the years to help that person move through that stage, to help that person uncover, become aware, and then choose a different way of being, and especially create space, a safe container. Sometimes our job is just to be there, to create that space for that person, to help them believe that they have the permission to do whatever they need to do, and then be there with them. Our presence alone, my wife and I with them, we create that safe, that sacred space, that sacred container. Call it energetic container, whatever. But we are there and we provide that for that person. And that's what they need sometimes. They need emotional support, not only physical help. And sometimes the mental aspect, strategies, understanding these executive functioning skills, are starting to move forward in a different way. I hope this makes sense. I hope I'm not rambling too much, but and there are so many layers, just like the years we have lived. Yeah, absolutely. ADHD, lack of executive functioning skills, and procrastination makes decluttering even harder. I spend hours on it, but make little progress in terms of reducing things done. See, I really, really invite you to enroll in my course if you can. Okay, enroll in my course and you will get my support there in the course classroom, because I feel that you have to follow the steps. You have to, there is a lot of work that you need to do in here. And you are not alone. There are a lot of support and resources that will help you start moving forward. But yeah, everything you are saying, ADHD, lack of executive functioning skills, procrastination, all these things make this process way harder. And you don't have to do it alone. Roxanne says the 30-day course. Yeah, the creating your clutter-free home, that's a 30-day course. But every day is just 15 minutes. So it's not a really long course, to be honest. But it's designed to guide you through the awareness stage to doing that invisible work, I call it, the emotional, the mental, and then goes into goal setting, into clear communication and boundaries. And then from there, we start moving into the specific steps that I invite you to follow so that you will get clear results, that they are becoming aware and setting the goals, and then you declutter, and then you organize, and then you beautify the space. And then I also talk about ceremonies and things that you can do to make your home sacred, and cleaning routines that you can implement after. And then we dive into every specific space of your home. And in every one of those sessions, I do a little practice so that you can connect, you can feel. There's a little meditation, there's a little visualization, and every day is a different practice. It's something a little bit different. And hopefully that will help you start moving that energy and start creating. When you did the tapping, etc., was that in a course or a life? So JE. So that's something that I have done a live on it that you can, it's on my YouTube actually, because on Inside Timer there is no video. But yeah, I did a live session on tapping. That I actually was bawling out. I was just touching a lot of things in myself, and it was really good to model that, to really do it with you guys. And this is something that I use in a session, and I feel it's a good fit. But you can find how to do the tapping very easily. It's really simple, and it can really help you move emotions, move things that are blocked, and connect with deeper layers of yourself. And in just a few minutes, it doesn't take long. It's just the tapping is based on the energetic meridians that go through your body, and then you tap on very specific points, okay? And then when you do that, you are tapping on those meridians, and then you do them like this in your head, and then you repeat. But the most important piece I find is voicing out and really acknowledging and expressing what you are feeling. And then from there, you start expressing what you are feeling, what's true to you, the emotions that you are experiencing. And then you do that a few rounds. And when you feel complete, majority of the time, something new will come. So you will do the tapping on that thing that came. And then you keep processing until you feel, okay, I'm neutral now. And then you do a round with what you are calling in. It's like, okay, instead of what I was experiencing now, I want to feel this way. I want to do this thing. I'm going to try this. I'm going to become this. And then you set kind of the new programming of what you want to do, right? Or how you want to move forward in a different way. So yeah. Say, okay, haha, I have procrastinated on doing that course, but definitely on my course list. Yeah, Roxanne. And this is something that you are going to find, okay? Especially now in these days, there is an abundance of resources, of courses, of things you can watch, and it's overwhelming. Sometimes I just feel overwhelmed. I don't know what to listen. I have 1,000 things on my to-do list, 1,000 things I want to watch, and there is not enough time for everything. That's when it's really helpful to have some sort of meditation practice, mindfulness practice, something that helps you ground with yourself. And then from that place of being grounded, from that place of being feeling hopefully calm, then you will feel what's next for you. Hopefully you will notice like, yeah, the priority now is this. Yeah, I feel I have to listen to this course. I feel I have to take this one. I feel I have to read this book. And the clarity is going to start showing up. And that's what I invite you to do. Look at the courses and then see which one calls you the most. Which one makes you feel best right now. And follow your intuition and your inner guidance in taking that next step. And then just follow that. Follow that with action. Action is really important. You have to take some sort of action when you are trying to change. And that action can be contacting with someone. That action can be reading a book. That action can be going to the room and changing something. I don't know. Can be that in many different ways. But it's important to follow your intuition. Thank you, Emilio, for this helpful advice to understand and integrate the feelings. Help me better to understand more why I do chaos after decluttering. Yeah, and when you are decluttering, this is something that is also true. When you are decluttering, you are going to create chaos. So things are gonna become worse before they become better. Why? Because when you are decluttering, you are basically pulling everything out, you are making grouping things together, and the process is just messy. It's gonna look like wow. And it's normal to feel overwhelmed when you are doing that. That's why having help, that's why doing the project in time slots can be helpful. But when we help someone, that's why people hire us, because we go there and we make the process happen as fast as possible. But things get way messier before they get before they look better. That's just how it is. So don't get scared when you are doing the decluttering. Allow for the time that is needed. Make intentional decisions. Get help if you need help. And try to focus on specific outcomes. We normally try to start and finish a space in a house, maybe a room, maybe the kitchen, maybe just one space. And we try to make that in a few hours. But that's myself, my wife, and the client, okay? If you are alone, then reduce that expectation by a lot, because you only have two hands and you are gonna be facing those emotions yourself. So make sure that you have more time. And it's just gonna take time, okay? Just think about that. How long has the clutter been there? How long have you taken to create all the clutter that you have in your life? So just give it a little bit of time to the decluttering process. It doesn't have to be done in a day, in a week, sometimes not even in a month. Sometimes it's a longer process. So just honor what is. Emilio's decluttering course has made the most visible shift in my life during a very challenging chapter of my life. Thank you so much, Sevika. I'm so happy to hear that my course had a positive impact in your life. And again, thank you so much for showing up in the course classroom, for sharing, for asking. And guys, this is for all of you. When you take a course, my course or whatever other course, when you read a book and there are exercises, when you listen to a tape and they invite you to do something, you are going to get out whatever you put in. Okay? So whatever you are doing, try to do it with intention. Try to give it 100%. Try, honest try, okay? Because the more you do, the more you are gonna get out of it. So if you take a course, try to share. Like, for example, at the end of my course, I invite you to go to the course classroom and do something. So that something is designed to help you verbalize your situation, to help you find the specific question that you have next so that I can support you, so that you can move forward. It's going to be a reflection piece, because you can go back to the course classroom and read what you brought maybe 1 month ago, 3 months ago, and you can put in perspective how much progress you have made. that otherwise you wouldn't know. So there are a lot of different intentions of taking action when you are doing a course. And I invite you to go full in. Whatever you decide to do, try to do it with intention and try to show up as much as you can, because you're gonna get out whatever you put in, okay? Through the three A's, awareness, acceptance, and action. Yeah. There is a transition between chaos and order. Yeah, absolutely. There is a transition. And sometimes chaos is necessary before order can exist, right? Thank you so much. It will help me to see it's time I can relax. It is all okay. I am safe. Yeah. Amazing. Let me see. Thank you for being so real and present. Oh, thank you, Roxanne. You are most welcome. Please advise the name of the course. So the course is called Creating Your Peaceful and Clutter-Free Home. Okay, for those of you who are not aware, the course that I have on this specific topic is called Creating Your Peaceful and Clutter-Free Home. Okay, I think I didn't miss any comments. Becca says, Emilio offers recordings of these lives and a membership to his offerings. There is more encouragement for our growth there. Yeah, thank you, Becca. I always forget to mention that. All these live sessions, I do record them, because sometimes I understand that you may not have the time to come live. Sometimes it's helpful to watch it again, and you can access them. If you go to my profile, you will see an option there that says Inside Timer Live Session Recordings, and you can access all the recordings from the last 2.5 years. They are all there. Okay, so thank you, Becca, for... when are you going back to Canada, Emilio? December 15th, so in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we have to fly. So now we are in the process of selling everything, giving away everything, packing, doing all the paperwork about the utilities. And so it's fun times, but it's okay. We are going back to the home that we have there. So at least we have something established there to go to. We don't have to look for a place there. Creating your peaceful and clutter-free home. Yeah, thank you so much for putting the name of the course in the chat. Wishing you an easy transition. Thank you, Roxanne. As I was explaining before, this is an example to model how I feel grief, I feel fear of going back, I feel excitement, I feel sadness to be far away from my family and my friends, I feel a lot of gratefulness for being able to be a full year here. Not everybody can take a sabbatical year and go wherever they want for a full year. A lot of gratefulness around my daughter going to school, learning the language, adapting. And these experiences are wonderful for her. She's becoming she's almost 5 years old now. And she has 2 passports. She speaks 3 languages. She's been all over the place. And I'm impressed by her. So yeah, I'm very grateful. But it's so important to all of you are going through life. You may have gone through life events that happened to you. And it's important to acknowledge them. It's important to understand that everything that happened led you here. And if you have physical clutter or your home is not what you want it to be, it's normal. And it will keep happening because we keep evolving. We go through life stages, right? We live with our parents, with our family, and then we move on. Maybe we move in an apartment by ourselves, and then maybe we meet a partner, and then we merge together, and we live together, and then maybe we have a baby, or 2 or 3, or whatever. And then maybe we move a few times for work, and then maybe we become empty nesters. Then we retire. So life is constantly evolving. And the activities that you enjoy, the hobbies that you have, the things that you like to do, everything keeps changing. This is why it's so important to create your peaceful and clutter-free home, whatever that means to you, and to do this process every time your life evolves, every time your life changes. And how can you know that? How can you know when it's necessary to do this process again? Well, very simple. When you feel frustration, when you feel unwell in your home, when you feel unfulfilled, that's the time to reassess. What do I need to change here? What do I need to change in my home? And we personally do this at least once a year, and sometimes twice, especially in the spaces that we use a lot, like the kitchen. In Canada, the shed. The shed is just, I think every few months it changes the purpose of that shed. Sometimes it's a storage for bicycles, sometimes it's for work, sometimes it keeps changing because our needs keep changing. So it's really worth it to invest a little bit of time to change that space that is causing you frustration, because the ripple effect of those changes are gonna be massive. Your wellness is going to improve, the way you feel is going to improve, your efficiency is going to improve, etc., etc., etc. So that's why this is such an investment in yourself, in your life, in your family life, if you have a family, in your work. It's gonna have a ripple effect in every area of your life. Remember that your home is a basic human need, shelter. And if that need is not fulfilled, it's just a basic foundation of life. So just think about that. That's how important it is to have a place where you can call home, where you feel safe, where you feel that you can be yourself, where you can go there after a long day at work and just relax. That's your sanctuary. That's your sacred space. Safe journey to Canada, Emilio. What city there? So we live in Kitchener-Waterloo there. It's a city like an hour and a half away from Toronto, between Toronto and London. So that's a city that's where Samantha went to university, my wife. She went to university there, so she had some friends there, and it's close to her family. So that's where we live. Grateful for your support. Thank you, Emilio, and everyone. You're welcome, Elena. Thank you so much. Erin, celebrate your return with a meal at Martinez in Kitchener, one of my favorites, and I will be with you in spirit. Amazing, Martinez. I don't know that place. Thank you, Erin. I will check it out. Martinez. So yeah, guys, I wonder if you have any other questions. Someone talk about paper, and they didn't touch on paper. But again, paper, I dedicated a full day about paper in that course. And you can also listen to some free audio content about paper management here on Inside Timer. I believe I've done several live sessions that you can find. If you type paper management, I'm pretty sure you can find them. And there is also like a free course that I have that has the numbers. And one of those sessions is called paper management, or finding your paper flow, something like that. But basically with paper, it's important to create a system. It's important to don't start decluttering and organizing paper, because it takes a really long time and you don't see a visual impact, a visual change. So that's a mistake that we made at the beginning when we got started helping people. In one session, I remember we started with paper, and I remember the husband left to do something, and we were doing the filing cabinet, and he came back like 3 hours later. And I remember he entered and he said, "What have you guys been doing for the last 3 hours? Because I don't see any difference." And that's when I realized, yeah, that's true. Like you don't see all these papers that we organize. You see the physical space. So it's very important. And I always recommend change your physical space first. And then when you have that ready, then get to the paper. So gather all the papers, put them all together. But I don't recommend starting with papers. I recommend to first declutter and organize your physical space, your office, your living room, your kitchen, your bedroom, whatever you use on a daily basis. And when that's done, then you do all the papers. You do a paper session. Because if you mix papers with the rest, you are going to spend a lot of time and you are not going to be able to make real progress there. So that's what I really, really recommend. And when it comes to paper, it's important. What I normally do, we gather all the papers and then we have a folding table, and then I will start grabbing papers and say, what's this? And you will tell me, oh, that's insurance. I will write insurance on masking tape and I will put it on the floor or on the table, and I will start a pile called insurance. And then with each paper, what is this? You will tell me, this is investments. Okay, so do you have a lot of investments? Yes. Does that work make sense to you? Investments? Yes. So I will use investments as the keyword and I will create a pile on that. So I will go through that, through the different categories, and by the end of the process, with some you will say, this is shredding, this is recycling, I don't need this, this I can log in online and maybe get my bills online from now on. So we will do that task or write it down for you to do, and then by the end of the process you will have your system. You will have all the names, the key names that we decided together. You will have a pile of papers there. And then we will take that and we will put it on a filing, on a hanging folder. And I always recommend to using a filing cabinet. Filing cabinet, a banker's box, just $3 at the dollar store. It's a cardboard, but you can hang things vertically. Very, very important. Because if you do the piles like this, you can find papers easily. It's easier to have things that you can do this and you can take the paper easily. You can find it, you can label things, you can use different colors for the hanging folders, different colors for the tags, and you can have a plastic box if you prefer. You can have a small filing cabinet or as big as you want, but they are transferable. So you can start with a banker's box, and if that gets full, you can get another banker's box, or you can upgrade to a filing cabinet later, but the system will be the same, no matter where it lives. So those are some of my recommendations with paper, but again, that's a whole new beast that we can spend hours talking about. So do you have a course on managing emails? Kenya, I have an idea of a course, but it's not created yet. But I do have a live session that I did on emails, and that wasn't long ago. That was probably a couple months ago, 3 months ago, and that was about email organization. So you can find it in the recording section if you want to find it. Emilio, will you be returning to doing lives from Canada? Yeah, absolutely. I will keep doing my lives normally Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I will try to keep this time or maybe 1 hour up, 1 hour down, something like that. But yeah, I will spend Christmas off and then I will then start scheduling them again. So yes, I'm planning on doing that. Pros and cons of using binders. Pros and cons of using binders. Heidi, good question. Some people use binders and they have specific intentions for each binder, but just think about the system that you are creating. Think about if you enjoy using it. From my own experience, I always, always, always recommend a system that allows you to hang things. That can be something small that you can move around, but still it hangs. That can be a banker's box, that can be a filing cabinet with drawers. But if you don't have something that you can see like that, some binders are accordion binders, and then when you open them, you can also see those papers and you can take them like that. I recommend that the most. But if you have binders, then it depends on your system, and it depends if you use them and if you enjoy them or not. My recommendation is for you to test different ideas until you find the one that calls to you and the one that you can maintain. Very important. You have to be able to maintain whatever system you create, and you hopefully enjoy maintaining that system. If you don't, I would recommend that you look for a different one. Okay. Thank you, Becca, for your donation. Yeah, donations are really helpful, absolutely. If you enjoy this session and you can support me with a donation, I am very grateful to receive them. And please support Emil if you can. It's always appreciated. Amazing. Thank you for your support, Becca. Sherry says, thank you for speaking about containers. I know that you are Thank you for speaking about containers. I know that your daughter has containers that you show when you show us around your home. She had containers for clothes. She had containers for art. Yeah, so we use containers with labels, with everything that we can, so that she can. So think about kindergarten, okay? So if you go into a kindergarten and you have all the kids playing with 1,000 things, when they ring the bell and it's time to clean up, it's amazing to see all the little ones. They know where to place things. They know how to put things back. Why do they know that? Because normally there is a section, there are labels, and they understand where to place things. So they know that all the colors go there. They know that all the teddy bears go there. They know that all the books go there. So you can do the same for yourself. And with our daughter in her room, we try to do that. So when we open the wardrobe, there are labels, and then there is games. And of course she cannot read, but we make drawings so that she understands. But we model that with her a few times, and then she understands and she learns how to put things back. And now she can put everything back by herself. So that's what maybe you saw Shelly there. She doesn't have a lot of papers right now, so okay. Well, okay, guys, if there are no more questions, I'm happy to stick around a little bit longer, but I hope that what we shared today is helpful. I hope that you are feeling motivated to declutter, to organize. I would love to see you in the course if you want to take it and you want to go deeper with this. If you do, please use the course Classroom. That's a beautiful resource that you have there where you can get my support. At the end of each lesson, you have the opportunity to share, to ask a question, to journal about your progress. You can share whatever you want. But remember that the more you put in, the more you're going to get out. And I also love supporting you. That's my mission here, to try and help you create that space. Okay? So if there are no more questions, I'm happy to let you guys go. I hope to see you in the next live, where we're gonna be having another Q&A about a different topic. Roxanne says, how often do you check in the course Classroom? Normally every day, Roxanne, unless I am out of coverage or something weird. Every day I check and every day I respond. That's one of my priorities, and honestly it's one of the things that I enjoy the most. To see the progress of people, to see the questions, and I really love answering and supporting, and I spend a lot of time doing that because I really like it. So yeah, that's a beautiful way for you to get one-on-one support from me at a very, very cheap price. Love, peace, and happiness to all of you on your journey of life. Thank you, Lydia. Yeah, that is very encouraging. Yeah, all of you, if you go to the course, you can see the course without enrolling. You can see how many engagements are in there. And then when you enter the course, you can listen to them and you can see. I put a lot of love and intention in every reply. It's an audio reply. That's another thing. It's not a written thing. I actually talk to you in an audio reply. And I will spend a few minutes, no problem, trying to share, trying to give you advice, trying to follow my intuition in what I feel you need next. Try to make you questions to help you gain clarity. And remember, the more specific the question, the deeper we can go together. So, yeah. Audios in the courses are so helpful to hear. Emilio's voice is supportive. Thank you. Sending healing. Thanks for sharing. Amazing. Amazing, guys. So thank you so much for being here. I hope to see you in the next live. And remember, if you enjoy this session, you can always place a donation in my profile if you want. And I invite you to listen to some of the tracks if you want to go deeper or enroll in the course, and I will see you there. And if you have any questions in the meantime, you can also use the circle here on Insight Timer. It's called Your Thriving Lifestyle. you can join that circle and you can get reminders there of lives that I do, and you can ask questions, and the community support each other and answer each other's questions, and I also go in and do try to share too. So you are not alone in this, okay? Well, have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will see you in the next session, okay? Goodbye, guys.